Hi there, this is David Coulthard.
Hi, this is Sebastian Vettel.
Sebastian Vettel, you are the world champion! You are the man!
Hi, I'm Mark Webber here.
Great drive, Mark. Fantastic. We've won the Constructors. Thank you. Well done.
I just want to say a massive thank you to all of our loyal supporters of our podcast. So keep listening for future really cool stuff.
We're back. Hello and welcome to the Red Bull Racing Podcast. It's round 12 of 20 in this year's Formula One World Championship. When you ask drivers and fans to name their favourite race circuit, Spa-Francorchamps is 9 times out of 10 top of the list. Set in the beautiful Ardennes Forest, and with a heady mix of long straights and demanding corners, dramatic climbs and falls, plus some notoriously fickle weather, Spa has it all. The first Belgian Grand Prix was run at Spa-Francorchamps in 1925, and it became part of the modern F1 Championship in 1950. Nowadays, the circuit has 19 turns and is 7.004 kilometres in length, a little less than the track's former life as an energy-sapping 14.9 kilometres. The modern race is 44 laps, a distance of 308.052 kilometres. The track itself has one of the best corners in F1 history, Eau Rouge. We spoke to the team members that have been lucky enough to drive it and asked them to give us Eau Rouge in 5 words. This is what they had to say.
Exhilarating, quick, compression, G-force, it's 2 words.
So Daniel, can you describe what it's like to go through Eau Rouge for us in 5 words?
It's fully sick, dude.
Christian, you've driven the circuit. Describe driving through Eau Rouge for us in 5 words or less.
Holy sh**. I'll do it in 2 words. When you go through there, it's unbelievable because it's like being on a roller coaster. I remember the first few times I went there, you hold your breath. It's quite an experience.
And does it veer more towards terrifying or exhilarating?
Both. It's totally terrifying, and if you emerge the other side of it at the top of the hill, it's very exhilarating. And every lap, you know, you take on the corner. It's slightly easier now than it used to be, and I think the way the cars have progressed, it's flat out. It's not even 50-50. But I think in years gone by, it was a massive challenge, you know, for any driver, you know, facing it.
So, David, Eau Rouge, how would you describe driving through that?
Incredible, powerful blur of lateral load and roller coaster ride.
We'll give you that as 5. Thank you.
To describe Eau Rouge in 5 words, mythic. Then I would say really deep, you know, going down and up, fast, dangerous, because it can be really dangerous as well. As the last word, I would say fantastic.
Eau Rouge, really fast. Right.
On this edition of the podcast, we speak to both drivers about their races here at Spa. We get an insight into the Red Bull Energy Station. We speak to our old friend Toro Rosso driver Daniel Ricciardo, Sebastian Buemi and David Coulthard. Plus, find out why Christian Horner made this noise. First, let's start with Paul, our head of car engineering. Katie spoke to him before the race this morning.
Okay, Paul, I'm sorry to be interrupting your breakfast on Sunday morning before the race. What is it you've got there?
It's a raspberry yogurt draped over some fruit. Cut for me rather than having to have me cut it, otherwise it would look somewhat worse than that.
Very nice, the breakfast of champions.
Well, let's judge that at the end of the year, but it's a nice breakfast, thank you.
Okay, so just going into the race this weekend, what do you specifically need to think about at the Spa circuit from an engineering point of view?
Spa's one of the quicker circuits we go to, so it's more of a medium downforce in terms of the rear wings, that kind of sets your drag level and therefore your top gear, and then your front wing size comes as a consequence of the rear wing size to set your aero balance. It's not difficult to cool the car around here, it's all high speed and usually quite cold, it certainly is this morning. A couple of good corners on here, Eau Rouge, Blanchimont, make sure the car's off the ground in Eau Rouge. It's easy on the brakes around here, plenty of time to cool those, there's nothing too alarming around there. Pirelli have asked us to observe some slightly different limits compared to most of the other races, so that's fairly straightforward. And then really, hopefully we'll cross the line first.
And how much different setup do you have to do for each race? Is it significant, or is it just little tweaks here and there?
I suppose if I took you through the setup sheets, you might regard them as quite small changes. The significance is the bit which is perhaps up for a subjective view between the teams. We know what our car is sensitive to, and as such, small changes can have a relatively large effect on the car's performance and feel to the driver. So the changes you make from circuit to circuit are significant in terms of the car balance and feel for the driver, but looked at without all the knowledge we have, they might seem quite small.
Okay, confident?
My breakfast will be nice this morning, yes.
Obviously, it's the first race back after the break. Does that already feel like a long time ago, or are you still feeling very refreshed?
What break was that?
Where did you go?
A week at home and then a week in France, so it was very pleasant. It feels like a Sunday morning now. You've been through 2 days of this or whatever we've been here for, so it's just what we've got, isn't it? If we have a good result today, then you suddenly don't feel quite so tired.
Well, best of luck, and we'll catch up with you soon.
Thank you very much.
As we've already mentioned, Spa is always touted as a Formula One driver favourite. David caught up with Sebastian Buemi to find out what makes it so special.
So, Sebastian, Spa's often quoted as a driver's favourite track. I wonder if you could tell us why, and tell us a bit about what it's like to drive around when you're in the cockpit.
It's definitely, I think, my favourite circuit, and also the favourite circuit of most of the drivers, especially if you imagine the first part of the circuit with the first hairpin in La Source, and then you go down to Eau Rouge, Redillon. It's just an amazing corner. Just have the feeling it's a wall facing you, and then you just go up this hill so quickly. You feel the compression in your back, and then you just feel that you're going to jump at the end of the Redillon. So it's definitely a great feeling to be driving in a Formula One car on this circuit. The second sector is quite difficult and quite demanding for the drivers, especially the second part. You carry a lot of speed, you have low downforce, very high speed into the corners. You need to touch the curb a little bit and still keep the highest average speed you can. And this is really demanding for the drivers. You can make a difference if you really, you know, have enough confidence in the car to carry the speed. And then the last sector again gives you good possibilities to overtake with a very high speed corner in Blanchimont, followed by a very tight corner where you have a lot of possibilities. Like I said, you can brake very late. After that you have the last chicane going back on the start and finish, so it's definitely a great circuit, I mean, for most of the drivers. And the fact that you've got this atmosphere that you don't really have on the new circuit definitely helps it. You go through the forest, you have a lot of elevation. It's definitely, you know, what the people is searching for, because those new circuits, you know, they are nice, it gives you good possibilities to overtake, but they are not as good as Spa, definitely.
And the other thing about Spa is the weather, obviously. I mean, you talk about the atmosphere with the fans, but the atmosphere is usually got some rain in it at some point, which presumably makes it all the more tricky to go around.
Yes, the weather here in Spa is always a big topic, especially for setting up the cars. You don't have much time on dry condition normally, but you still need to have a very quick car in those conditions, because you never know if the race is going to be dry. So, for example, this weekend it rained a lot on Friday. Nobody had any running on high condition, and now Saturday and Sunday is on dry. So you definitely, you know, need to maximize the time you have to try to understand as much as possible, and then set up the car, because you know you might not get much more dry running until the race. So, but I think this makes it also very special, the fact that the race here in Spa is depending a lot on the weather, and I really think that gives this extra spicy thing to the circuit. Yeah.
And it's never a dull race. That's the other thing. There's always something that happens either at the first hairpin or Eau Rouge. There's going to be some incidents this afternoon.
Yes, hopefully, you know, we don't want to see big accidents, but you never know what can happen in La Source. It's a very tight corner. There is always a lot of small things happening there with people trying too much. We've seen a lot of accidents last year, so you know, it's definitely going to keep us interested in the race.
Thank you very much.
On to the race now, and it was actually a good result for the team. The first hairpin in Belgium is notorious, but the Grosjean versus Hamilton versus Alonso coming together was something else. The carbon fibre carnage was spectacular, but most importantly, the damage was only done to the cars. From there, Button drove a solid race, using a one-stop strategy, like Seb, to make the most of his pole advantage. And while behind him there was mayhem, overtaking, and some interesting track positioning at the entrance to the pit lane, Jensen appeared to calmly bring it home for McLaren. Yesterday's qualifying, a Mark's grid penalty meant it was going to be more than a scrap for our boys, but the upfront pile-up combined with calm overtaking and some savvy strategy saw both climb up the timesheets and for Seb, a place on the second step of the podium. Meanwhile, Mark's two-stopper brought him valuable points and a sixth-place jump in places from his grid position. Here they both are after the race.
I'm quite happy, obviously. A difficult day for us yesterday. Qualifying was not the way we wanted it to be. Why? Don't ask me, really. Today, the car seemed to be back to, you know, normal performance, back to what I had, to be fair, on Saturday morning. And, my start was poor. I lost a lot of positions. And even though, you know, I gained positions in the first corner because people crashed into each other, I was probably the only one who managed to lose places in the first lap. So it was tough, and then it was a tough fight to come back. But the car worked. We had the pace. It was fun to overtake and a fun race. So great to be on the podium and pick up a trophy.
So obviously the start was pretty wild, which can happen here at La Source. And then we settled into a race, which then became very, very obvious that it was very difficult for us to overtake on track. Obviously, Seb and I had a little fight, which was fine. And then after that, you could even see, after Eau Rouge and stuff, it was just not possible for us to fight other people on the straight line. So that made it tough. And then we tried to undercut some people. So yeah, it just didn't... The stars didn't line up too much after the first lap. Really, we had a bit of luck there, but then after that, we didn't get the most out of the situation. Long way to go on the championship. It's, as I say, we're 8 races to go, and let's see, we'll take each race as it comes.
David Coulthard holds this track close to his heart. David Granger caught up with him after the race.
David, that was carnage at the start, but a hell of a race and a good result for our two drivers.
Yeah, great result for Red Bull Racing. Coming out of what looked like it was going to really be a big struggle at the start of the race, you know, especially Sebastian down in 12th place behind a Caterham after the safety car restart. But great comeback from him, controlling the race to a one stop. Red Bull managed to extend their Constructors' Championship, which is obviously worth a great deal to them. Somewhat fortunate, I suppose, that the main championship leader has gone out of the race because of that incident at the start. I think it was a great mature drive from Sebastian. He was the only one other than Jensen that was able to make a one-stop strategy work. It has to be said that Mark may be scratching his head slightly as to where the pace was this weekend, but they won't have long to do that because next week it's on to Monza.
Looking forward to that one?
Yeah, I think so. I think it was interesting last year to see Red Bull's strategy. They ran the downforce, weren't the quickest in straight line, but were able to win the race. And clearly that worked very well for them. So it'll be interesting to see how people work their strategies.
Congratulations also to our friends at Toro Rosso. It's a rare afternoon that all Red Bull F1 drivers get in the top 10, but Daniel Ricciardo and Jean-Éric Vergne kept their nerve and both secured valuable championship points for the Italian-based team ahead of their home Grand Prix next weekend. David spoke to our old friend Daniel earlier this weekend.
So Daniel, how's the first half of your first season with Toro Rosso been?
It's been all right. You know, I'm enjoying myself. Would always like better results. You know, we started off really well in Melbourne with obviously a good points finish, my first Formula 1 points. So I got the ball rolling nicely. Unfortunately, it's been a bit of a stalemate for points since then. But I think we've still had some highlights. You know, obviously, I think from then Bahrain qualifying was a real, a great day for me. Unfortunately, couldn't, complete the race as I wanted. But, still took positives out of the weekend and learned from some mistakes as well. And then, yeah, the rest, you know, Monaco had some success in junior days, so I was probably hoping for a bit more there. But I think we're doing the best we can. You know, qualifying's been pretty good.
And tell us about the difference between HRT and Toro Rosso then. What are the main differences in preparation and in racing?
In preparation, not a whole lot, to be honest. I mean, obviously Toro Rosso is a bigger team, you know, a bit more experienced, etc. But in terms of people I work with on race weekend, it's not so different. You know, I still got main race engineer and data engineer. They're the two guys who I spend most time with, and I also had, you know, two of those guys with HRT, have a trainer, things like this. So not much changes, you know, in terms of preparation. Obviously, I learn a bit more from this year to last, But the flow of the race weekend's pretty similar. You know, obviously the car and you know, it's got a bit more performance and I can be a bit more optimistic about the race. And, you know, the team has... you know, shedding a bit more, sharing a bit of their experiences.
Did you manage to get away at all over the break? You fully recharged those batteries?
Yeah, I put a new set of double A's in, so feeling good. I was in, just had a couple of days, about 4 or 5 days in Portugal. Just got some sun. The beach was very cold, so didn't do as much swimming as I would have liked, but no, it was a nice little break just to chill out and, you know, watch a bit of the Olympics over there and stuff. I'll see it on TV, but it was just a bit of a week off, and then was back in England training. Had a couple of days in Austria of training as well, and back here. So the break always goes quick, but I think you know we spent our time wisely in it, and prepared now for the rest of the season.
Because it's quite a tough couple of races coming up. Not a couple of races, but those long haul back to backs. That does that take it out of you?
I think for the general population it does, but you know when you're a fellow Spartan, things don't really bother you. Honey Badger don't care, so why should I?
Thank you very much, and the best of luck for the rest of the season.
Thank you, and apologies for listening to my rubbish again, but hope you all enjoyed it somehow. Thank you.
As usual, the Red Bull Energy Station was buzzing throughout the race weekend. Katie went to get an insight into how it all works.
Okay, I'm here with Christian Kolarich, who is Red Bull's hospitality manager, and we're in the Mighty Energy Station. So at the moment, we're on the first floor. I think this is more like the VIP section here, is it?
Not only VIP, we have two sections. One is for our media guests, our friends, and one section is for our invited, let's say, VIP guests.
So where we are now at the moment is set up with tables and chairs, and this is more where you do the a la carte lunches, is that right?
This is correct. On this side, we try to give our guests a proper service with a nice menu and also to satisfy them with special requests. And to the other side, we try to satisfy our guests with like a flying buffet and a front cooking system.
Okay, yeah, we can see that at the moment where they're just setting up, it looks like, for a lot of work today. And so in front of us, there's a big open kitchen where some of the guys are already cooking. So how does it work here with the service where the media come and eat?
For the media, they have a short, let's say, time window. So we try to serve them with a front cooking system. That means that everybody come and take his plate from the kitchen. And what they're going to do now is they're preparing like 300-400 main courses. So quite busy.
And then downstairs, that's where the team eats.
Exactly, downstairs. We use the space for the team. That means one side for Toro Rosso, one side for Red Bull Racing. We calculate for each team nearly 100 persons with a buffet system.
There's a lot of variety down there, isn't there? Salads, I think 6 different options for hot meal, is that right?
Yeah, a full salad buffet, 6 to 8 choices in the hot kitchen with 2 or 3 pastas, fish, meat, vegetables, potatoes, rice and so on, yeah.
So what's your favourite food?
I'm Italian, so I have to say pasta.
And what is that you've got for your breakfast there? Some sort of smoothie?
It's our good morning smoothie. We use fresh fruits, berries. We mix them with orange juice or fresh apple juice. It's our good morning welcome drink.
Okay, well, thank you very much and good morning.
Thank you.
All in all, a positive Sunday for our team here at Spa. Katie spoke to Christian Horner after the race to find out how he feels about it all.
So Christian, post-Belgian GP, did you ever think yesterday that you were going to come away with a second and a sixth?
Well, we left the track fairly depressed last night because we felt that we'd under-delivered in qualifying and whether we had a fast race car. We saw it yesterday morning and we managed to prove it this afternoon. And going into the race, it wasn't clear whether it was going to be a two-stop or 3-stop. We suspected a 2-stop, but then, you know, as the race progressed, it became evident that we could switch the strategy for Sebastian, and you know, had done an amazing job in clear air, and we took the risk and it worked.
What were you thinking when Michael and Sebastian got very close when Michael was going into the pit stop?
It went something along the lines of we told Sebastian effectively to do the opposite of whatever Michael did, and then Michael decided to come in and Sebastian had to stay out. So you know, I think after Michael locked up his front tyre for about 100 metres, he needed to come in anyway, but they were racing hard, and I don't think it was a heart in the mouth moment, but thankfully it didn't cost us too much time.
And then a very fast turnaround now until the next race in Monza.
Yeah, Monza's a great track
track. It's one of the historic events, you know, so much history steeped in the park there. We won there for the first time last year. It would be great to you know, get a big result there as the last race in Europe, you know, this year. But you know, our competitors will be strong there. We know that you know, Ferrari on home ground always find that bit extra, but you know, we're going to be fighting hard and hopefully can you know, turn in the kind of performance that we've seen today.
And Monza is where we look now. It's only 7 days before the final European round of the 2012 season gets underway. Let's hope the weather's better and the racing is as good as we had here at Spa. For all the team news, pictures and to find out which music video Sebastian will be appearing in, check out the website redbullracing.com. We'll be back in 1 week's time. Until then, take care.